You know, it just occurred to me that there, if you're here this morning for the first time and you just chose to visit us this morning, it's good to have you here. You're getting a little inside glimpse into what God is doing at Living Hope in terms of leadership. So I wanted to take just a real brief opportunity to have John share. I know many of you know John. John has been, as Steve said, a part of the church here at Living Hope for a number of years, but he was part of the plant team that we released to Lifestream Community Church. So, but what I wanted John to mention just briefly, a number of you will remember, it's been a number of months ago. How long has it been, John, since you had your stroke? That happened when?
It was April 22nd.
April, okay.
Right after Easter.
So I don't know. Is this on? It doesn't sound. Well, no, it says it's on. So we've been praying for you, and I thought this is just a great opportunity just to give us a real brief update. I mean, that's just been a journey that you've been on. You look really well. I know there are some lingering effects yet, but just give us that brief update.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. This is. I suffered an embolic stroke, which means there was a clot or a small piece of material that went up into my brain. And brain tissue doesn't regenerate, so when you have a piece of brain die, it's just gone. You don't get that back. But what you do when you recover from a stroke is you have your brain try to retask other parts of the brain to do the things that it used to do. Well, the part of my brain that was affected was motor, which means the movement of my left side. So I had a droopy face. I had a voice that really was sloppy. I had an arm that did nothing, and a leg that walked, well, didn't walk. It was a wheelchair. So through the PT and everything, I got went through, you know, from a four-point quad cane to a single-point cane. And when I got home, I came home on a quad cane and developed and began to just to improve. And over the first 90 days, a fair amount of that came back and became stronger. Leg's not perfect yet, but it gets me around. I don't think I'll be skiing, but my arm has gone to the frontier of this. It's still weak, but I can get dressed, I can bathe, I can do those things. So it's the other things, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, I've come along quite well, and I wanted to just to use this opportunity to challenge all of you, because this happened to me right after we left here and started the Lifestream Church. And you think, well, the timing was kind of strange, or not strange. To me, it wasn't strange at all, because I know that this was an attack from the enemy. And it was a pretty debilitating attack, frankly. Don't let this happen to your elders. That's what I'll say to you today. Don't let this happen to them. Well, what can I do? Well, you can pray for them on a weekly basis. Put it on your calendar. Keep the enemy far from them. Pray that.
Mm-hmm.
That they won't have these kind of things happening to them. Because that's very destructive to your leadership.
Well, John, do give our regards to Pastor Josh, Yolanda, the other wonderful people there that we miss so dearly. But it's just good to have you share an update, and good to have you and Sue Ellen with us. So, blessing to have you here. Thank you. Well, I'm really excited for this morning and just to see what God is doing. As I already mentioned, we have spent some time together as elders over the past few days. That's really been a blessing. What we're going to start with is just a number of things. What we're going to start with this morning is, I mentioned that Dave Whitmer was unable to be here. Dave is our overseer through HopeNet. He was on sabbatical over the summer, but he is back again. We were trying to find a date when he could join us for this, and because of five families, and then you throw in Dave's schedule, it pushed this thing way into the end of October. And he said, Ron, do not delay this because of me. He said, see if Steve can come and represent us from HopeNet. So what we did, though, is we were able to record just a few comments that Dave wanted to share with you, so I'm happy to share those with you now. So if you can go ahead, Wes, we'll just hear these few comments from Dave.
Good morning. I'm here with Dave Whitmer, our HopeNet overseer.
Dave was committed to preach at University Christian Fellowship, one of our new HopeNet sister churches this morning, so he was unable to be with us. But I wanted you to hear from him. And so, Dave, it's good to have you with us via the video camera. You just got back from sabbatical, so tell us just a little bit about that.
It was a great time, sabbatical. I really appreciate the congregations allowing me the time off, and I appreciate Steve's work in covering for me while I was gone. I was doing great, even lost some weight, until last week when I took some flowers into Carol for her birthday at her first grade classroom, and she asked the class, "Can anybody guess who this is?" And one little girl said, "Mrs. Whitmer, is this your grandfather?" So I've graduated to being my wife's grandfather.
Right.
Nobody has ever accused Carol of being my grandmother at this point. So,
funny how it works.
So, Ron, it's been exciting to come back and hear how God's been working with the elder process and how he's led you to this point of these four brothers that you're commissioning today. And I just want to say to you, Jay and Richard and Kevin and Christopher, that I'm excited what God is going to do through you by his Spirit. This is a special day for the congregation.
One of the things that you and I have talked about, Ron, is about how important commitment is in leadership. And I know that you've talked to your elder candidates about their commitment to Jesus Christ and their commitment to Living Hope Community Church and what Jesus wants to do through that local church. So it all starts with commitment, and I know that's been confirmed in the elders' lives, that Jay and Kevin and Christopher and Richard are committed to Jesus Christ and committed to this local congregation for what he wants to do.
So I just pray God's blessing in every way and the Holy Spirit to pour out upon you in every measure so that you can serve well together.
Right. Now, I'm going to invite Steve to come back up. The elders will be joining me in just a few minutes, but I asked Steve to share again from his role as the overseer who is walking with us through this process. I asked him to share just briefly any comments that he would like to share from the process itself or anything else you want to add to your earlier comments before we have the other elders come up. So again, it's good to have you with us. And I want to thank you, Steve, for the time that you put into this process over the summer with us. It was really a blessing.
It's been my honor. I'm really honored. It's been a very exciting time. I'm not going to take a lot of time because I want you to hear from your new elders and your existing elders, particularly the new ones that you're getting to know in that role. I want to say one thing biblically. What we do is scriptural. And I was frankly amazed as I was looking at some scriptures. It's a journey for those of us who are elders and leaders and overseers as well to go to God's Word and see what it actually says. And I knew that Joshua had been commissioned, so there's evidence of what we're doing here today in the scriptures. But what I found written in the actual words of the Word, which is what we really need to look at, in both that Old Testament instance as well as in the New Testament where Paul had told Titus to appoint elders in every church, I found an incredible reference to the fact that it's all about God. And it wasn't about Moses, it wasn't about Joshua, it wasn't about Paul, it wasn't about Titus, it wasn't about Timothy, and it wasn't about the Philippian church. It's about God. And I want to show you that very quickly. Moses appealed to the Lord, "May the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the community." May God appoint a man over the community. And who will go before them and come back in before them? This is in Numbers 27, if you want a reference to look at it later. And who will bring them out and bring them in so the Lord's community won't be like sheep without a shepherd? The Lord replied to Moses, "Take Joshua, son of Nun, a man who has the Spirit in him, and lay your hands on him." What we did today. "Have him stand before Eleazar the priest and the whole community and commission him in their sight." And then this story is told again in Deuteronomy 31. the Lord your God is the one who will cross ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you. You know, Joshua led the children of Israel to the promised land. He will do that. He will drive them out. Joshua is the one who will cross ahead of you, as the Lord has said. So it's the Lord who goes, and we go for him. And it's the Lord who leads these leaders. For it is, this is again in Deuteronomy 31, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Those words are repeated to Joshua in the first chapter. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and be courageous. It says here in Deuteronomy 31, be strong and courageous, for you will go out with this people into the land the Lord has given to their fathers. You will enable them to take possession of it. And then again, it just repeats this. The Lord is the one who will go before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid or discouraged. And finally, call Joshua, the Lord told Moses, and present yourselves at where? At the edge of town? At your bunk room? No. At the tent of meeting, the place where Moses met with God and his face shone so brightly Israel couldn't even look at him when he came out. They had to cover his face. We, Paul tells us, with unveiled faces are beholding the glory of God now through Jesus. But it says, present him and go to the tent of meeting so that I may commission him. That was the Lord speaking. The Lord appeared at the tent in a pillar of cloud, and the cloud stood at the entrance of the tent. What a powerful Old Testament image that is real to us today. And then quickly, in the New Testament, Paul wrote to Titus, and he said, my child, in our common faith, common unity, our common faith, go in peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason I left you in Crete was to set right what was left undone. This is order again. As I directed you to appoint elders in every town. And he reminded Timothy. He said, I remind you to keep ablaze the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. And finally in Scripture, when Paul wrote to the churches in the one to Philippians, for example, he singled out in his greeting the elders and the deacons. He said to the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers, that can be translated elders and is in some versions, like the different versions have it, elders and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want us to keep in mind that this is scriptural, what we do. This is all about God. And I was so blessed to be part of this process. I can tell you that I met with Ron, I met with the design team, I saw the hand of God throughout. I met in the interviews with each of the elders and their wives, and we witnessed the move of God. You know the story of how clearly God led your existing elders to those who would become the new elders. Does that mean the others in that group of 13 were not qualified? By no means. It wasn't their time. It wasn't God's call at this time to them, but it was to these three, and he made that abundantly clear. And I can tell you that when we had those interviews, I like to use the alliteration, they were raw and real. We didn't just say generalities and pleasurable words. We got down to cases, to humility, to working through disagreement, to not being there because the position means something to one's self-esteem or self-importance, but being there humbly, knowing that it would be easier not to be an elder, but when God's calls there to respond in faith. And our job, your job and mine, is to hold them in continuing prayer. And the elders, I encourage you again, two words, be tenacious. That's an interesting word. It means to hold on tightly, but also be teachable. To let go when you may not have the discernment. And I want to just say one final thing. Be encouraged. Where I pastor, we put the house in order 12 years ago, and in the almost 40 years I've been in ministry, I have been having in the last 12 years the time of my life. Our congregation is in mission. We're all about what God's saying. We're encountering the world in ministry, and you're going to have the same experience. Don't be afraid of the devil. He's defeated. I don't even like to mention his name. Yeah, he'll do what he can, but in the name of Jesus, he is defeated. Amen. And you can stand firm, and your prayers, as John encouraged you, will put that hedge of protection around your leaders. Yeah, they're a target. They got a big bullseye in the back. But guess what? We took the gun away from the enemy. Jesus is in control. Yeah.
Thanks, Steve. Well, I'd like you gentlemen to join me again. Jay, come on up, and Richard, Kevin, Christopher. And I know that, you know, time will not permit us this morning to talk as long as we'd like, but again, I wanted to give a little bit more opportunity for you to hear from these brothers. Just some things I'd like you things I'd like them to share. So I'm just going to hand the mic over here. Richard, we'll start with you. Jay, we'll come back to you then if you have any comments you want to add. But basically, I've asked these guys to talk about this morning just basically two things, and they'll put their own words to it, obviously. But I ask these two questions about what excites them about serving in this role. They talked earlier about their sense of calling to this and they're wanting to serve in this way. But what these two questions can blend together in your answer. What excites you about serving in this role? And what do you see God doing at Living Hope? What is God up to? Last week, I talked about up and to the right. If for those of you who are here, you might remember we talked about up and to the right and how at times God is taking us somewhere, even through difficult times. And so just talk a little bit about what you see God doing, what you're excited about, what you see God doing. That's sort of the general framework, and then you can take it from there. So go ahead, Richard. We'll start with you.
I guess there's privilege and age. I get to go first.
Yeah, that's right.
In thinking about my involvement here at Living Hope for the last 4.5 years or so, I can remember when I first came here, the impression that the Lord gave me that there was something that the Lord was going to do here that was way beyond what we had experienced and really doesn't look a lot like what it's looked like for a lot of years. It's been kind of a process watching that unfold gradually, but that excitement in me has remained. In fact, it's increased. And now with this current season, even with going back to January with the team being sent out, I began to see a lot of opportunity, not for me in this role in particular, but for us as a church. I mean, I've been privileged to minister to the men of this church for the last, 3 years? That's one of the greatest resources that we have, are the men in this church. You know, there weren't 13 men identified to be elders by accident. It's because there are 13 and more than 13 men in this church that are quality people, that have a heart for God, that have integrity, have character. And I look forward to seeing the Lord raise all of you up into what your giftings are and what your call and passion is. That's a really neat thing for me to even think about. I've already lost track of the question you asked me to answer. So that's the way it is, folks. I think in pieces, and so, but they're colorful, right?
What I'm excited about, what I'm seeing happening here, and this goes back to Ron's message from last week about up and to the right. It's easy to look and see what we could identify or call loss. I don't believe for a minute that it's loss. I believe it's opportunity. There's some stuff that needed to change. There's some things that needed to be exposed. And I don't believe that that's necessarily finished. But it's to expose what the foundation is here, to look at what's good, to hang on to those things that are good. I think Yolanda had a word a number of years ago about strengthening the things that remain. But to also shore up that foundation, to find out what's missing, what's lacking, what's there that shouldn't be there, what's not there that should be, and begin to shore up that foundation. Because I believe that the structure that God wants to build, and I'm talking about a spiritual structure, that is called Living Hope,
is going to require a very, very solid foundation, because I believe that that structure is huge. So I'm excited for what's going to happen here. I mean, it's honestly, we don't know what that looks like yet, but we know that God does, and that's who we're after. So,
you know, I've given a lot of thought to the last year that we've been through as a congregation. You know, we called it time of transition. You know, I was privileged to serve on the transition team, and we looked at changes that were happening. We looked at some reshaping. We looked at some restructuring. And I really believe that God has used the last year to be a refining time for us as a church and individuals. I think it's been a purifying time for us. It's been a time that God really, in some degree, has shaken us to the core and said, what are we going to be about? What are we made of? What do we believe in? What is our core value as individuals in a body? I believe that that is where we are at today. That transition is over, and we are moving on. God is calling us to new things, and like Richard said, we don't know what all those new things are. But one thing I believe that God is going to do, and I'm very excited about it, and that is to reconnect us. I think the early vision of Living Hope has been about being connected. In fact, I think Dave and Ron and Pastor Dick Landis said early on that it was about being connected with at least 12 different persons. And this body is going to grow as we are connected. And the Bible says that iron sharpens iron. So we've got to be connected. I believe that we've come through the transition. It's time to reconnect. It's time to get together and serve and walk out the calling that we have as individuals and with as a body. And the image that God gave me was about the vine and the branches. You know, we know that from John, that he is the vine, we're the branches. And we only receive life, obviously, from the vine, but we also receive life and nourishment from the other branches, and we're connected. And branches are only as strong as the other branches surrounding that branch and also being connected to the vine. So my challenge, and what I'm really excited about, is how God is going to cause a lot more people to be raised up in the calling that they have. And God doesn't want us to be on the sideline. God doesn't want us to be spectators. God is calling a lot more people, and I think we've seen over the last year, there's a lot more people being involved now, and leadership has taken a new look, and more people have been raised up who haven't been raised up before. This congregation this morning is full of gifts that God has given us. Let's use them, and I believe that God is going to build his kingdom in a mighty way through that.
Christopher, while you're getting your drink of water, I'm going to jump in here. I want you to take just a couple extra minutes, Christopher, because I realize, as Christopher said, he and Mary Grace have only been here about 2 years, and some of you may not feel like you've ever really spoken to Christopher, that you know him very well. So if you would, before you respond to these questions, just give us just that brief glimpse of the journey the Lord has had you on in some leadership roles and in maturity. Like, I don't know if you want to go back to around the college years or whatever. We've been hearing that story, but just give us a little bit more background about Christopher and Mary Grace, just for us as we get to know you, and then go into the, then you can respond to the other questions.
I'll try to do that. I think I'll do it in 5-year snippets, is the way I usually describe it. We went to Penn State, part of the Navigators, 5 years. Navigators are, if you don't know, very interested, heavy, so to speak, on Bible study, discipleship, scripture memory. And so we were very much led and taught through many people there for those 5 years. After that, after college, we got married. We lived in Raleigh, North Carolina for 5 years. We volunteered. Actually, Mary Grace was on part-time staff with the Navigators at a university campus, trying to implement those things and starting to talk about not only discipleship, but missional things that Pastor Ron has been preaching about for the past number of months. Because of that, we moved back to Pennsylvania. We spent 5 years before we moved to Living Hope in a house church in the city of Lancaster, where we sought as a group to kind of see how we could reach the people around us through missional community. And then through your process, God showed us, you know, you have gifts, and we are leading you to a different place to use those gifts. And we ended up, God directed us to Living Hope. And the things that were going on in Living Hope, with the emphasis of the Holy Spirit, we started talking about discipleship again, incarnational mission, were the things that, you know, really are on our hearts that we get excited about. So, and those, I mean, those are some of the answers to the question, I think,
yeah.
Things that get me excited. So, in answer to the question, I think you're going to see you're seeing some similar answers, and I think that's great. I shared a verse with the men this weekend from Isaiah. It says, it's in Isaiah 48, "Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland." And the verse about forgetting, the part about forgetting the former things, I don't think that's a call to forget relationships or to forget what God has done. But it's a call to say, God is doing a new thing, just like these men have said. And, you know, I'm just really, really excited about where that is. And like you said, we don't know exactly. We're catching glimpses, but we're not sure yet. And I just want to share another verse that I was reading in Numbers this morning, which isn't something normally people say. That's where I am in reading through the scripture. And I couldn't believe how relevant it was. You remember the Israelites were around the desert, and they started to complain because they were just eating manna all day, every day. And they complained and asked for meat. And Moses was up to here with their complaints and asked for help. And this is a lot like the verse that Steve shared with Joshua, a lot like the verse that Karen shared with Moses' father-in-law. It says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting that they may stand there with you. I will come and down and speak with you there, and I will take the spirit that is on you and put the spirit on them. They will help you carry out the burden of the people so that you will not have to carry it alone." And I just felt like, as I was said earlier, it's a privilege to be the five, to be able to be, and I'm sure Ron and Jay are appreciative to have additional folks. But the part of this passage that, you know, another part of this passage that struck to me is the Israelites actually said, "Why don't we go back to Egypt? At least they have fish." And that's not what we want at Living Hope. We don't want to think about the time where we had something that we really miss. I mean, God sent them way too much quail after this, but beyond that, he sent them to the promised land. So for Living Hope, I don't want to be thinking about the fish that we could have missed in slavery. I want to think about the promised land and where God has us to go. I don't know what it is. I don't know what kind of meat is on the table, so to speak, but well, I'm really looking forward to that.
All right. Thanks. Hand it back to Jay here. Jay, you can weigh in on those questions if you want, or even from your perspective, you've served as an elder now since 2009, I believe it was. So you've been in this role. So just any observations or anything else you'd like to add in this whole conversation?
Well, it has been a joy, and it will continue to be a joy serving the congregation. I am just overjoyed with having these men as additional elders on the team to be able to serve the congregation. You know, I see, you know, many times people bring concerns to me. I can't carry them all, you know, and I'm just glad the workload, the responsibility is going to be shared. Pastor Ron and I can't carry them all. That's why we have life group leaders also, but especially having the elders here, I'm excited. This is a huge foundational process here that for what God has in store. It's like Christopher has already said, the Lord's going to do a new thing. And it's going to be huge.
I think for me, even beyond the shared workload. We've talked about that. You know, we're going to have more elders. There's going to be more men to share the load of leadership. Even more than that, for me, is the additional insight and wisdom and gifting. You know, when you go from 2 to 5, you're getting all that package that is in these three men. And we've talked about that a bit over the weekend, what some of their gifts are and their redemptive gifts and so forth. And so I'm really excited. I mean, I'm really excited just because of what God has put on their hearts, the way these men are gifted, the maturity they've demonstrated in so many different ways. So I really do feel blessed the way God has led us through this and the way he is positioning us. Just a couple things I wanted to share yet. Jay, I'm sorry if this makes you uncomfortable, but I just wanted to express my thanks publicly for Jay and Sharon. I said last week in the sermon that this past year has been the hardest year of my ministry. I'm in my 9th year, and it's been the hardest year, and I failed to add, when you say something like that, I failed to say, though, what a blessing so many of you have been, the way that we've been encouraged, the way that we've been supported, the way you've been praying for us, and the way Jay and Sharon have walked with Molly and I through that process. I don't think we would have made it. I really don't. They were there supporting us, carrying the load far more than should ever be laid on the shoulders of one elder. So, Jay, I just want to say to you what a blessing and what a fatherly role you've walked in with me and for the congregation. Not only that, Jay has sort of blazed a trail now where he is, it already happened this weekend, where he is starting to speak into the lives of these men from, you know, this is what you will experience and this is what you can expect and this is, you know, what God has taught me about the elder role. So we're blessed also for your wisdom serving in the elder role and sharing that with these men. So, and Sharon, you know, the way you guys have blessed Molly and I, what a tremendous blessing. Show your appreciation to them, will you? Thank you, brother. I'm sorry. I would hate to be in your place right now. I hate when people do that to me, but it needs to be done. It needs to be done. So if I could, just very briefly, I'm not even going to turn there. The verse that is behind us here is from 1 Peter, where 1 Peter is writing to other elders, and he says, to be shepherd of God's flock, be shepherds of God's flock that are under your care, that is under your care. And that's my encouragement to you and to myself as well, that serving as an elder is not about you. It's not about your advancement in the kingdom. It's not about your platform or your being promoted in the kingdom. Our success is measured by their success. That's what it means to be an elder. We give ourselves to that for their life, for their growth, for their maturity. That's how we are measured. This passage, it's in 1 Peter 5. Might even go there next Sunday. I'm not quite sure yet. But Peter goes through a number of things, but he says how he mentions humility, and he mentions the challenges that you'll face, and he mentions how you don't serve because of money. This is a volunteer position. These guys aren't getting paid, so I know they're not in it for the money. But you don't serve for money, but because you're eager to serve. And these men are eager to serve. I see that in their hearts, and I trust you do as well. So, so I'm excited. Again, I might talk a little bit more about that next week. As we wrap up here, just a couple things yet. That little yellow prayer card, one of the reasons I printed that on a separate piece of paper, you might want to tuck that in your Bible. Just as a reminder, whether you pray that prayer or whatever the Lord invites you to pray, John already suggested something, but just as a reminder to pray for us, starting this week as an elder team, we will be meeting together 5 times a month, 3 times for prayer and 2 times to talk. So we're actually meeting more to pray than we are to work. So that's just our admission that, God, we are so desperately in need of your wisdom and your guidance through this. So that begins this week. I'd also invite you, a number of you responded to me with your words of affirmation for the choices and for this process. I'd encourage you to talk to these men, to let them know that you're with them, you're supporting them. Give them your words of encouragement, just the way we were able to encourage Jay and Sharon right now. Bless these brothers as you have opportunity, and their wives. Let them know you're praying for them. A reminder that next Sunday, we're not going to be here. As Val said, we'll be at Central Manor Camp Meeting. Now, this wasn't on the program anywhere, but we're going to do it. When you're an elder, you got to be used to getting thrown into things all of a sudden. So what I want to do is, Jay and Richard and Kevin were part of the transition team. Christopher was not. But one of the things we did as part of that transition team was to identify leadership for our youth ministry. And our youth ministry launches again for the fall this Wednesday night. So we're excited about that. We're so excited to have Mike and Claudia with us. And Claudia, did Mike tell you I was going to do this? He probably didn't, did he? He told you 5 minutes ago. Well, you've had 5 minutes then to know this was coming. They learned about it just now. But what we simply want to do is, as a group of elders now, we're going to commission Mike and Claudia just in a simple prayer. And Denny and Karen, you'll join us as Denny and Karen have served so faithfully in this role, and they're continuing to serve with Mike and Claudia. By the way, the parents meeting for the youth is being held after the service in the multipurpose room back by the kitchen. So if you have young men and women who are part of junior high or high school, come and you'll get to hear more from Mike and the vision and some of the plans. So Kevin, I'm just going to pick you. You're one of the elders that you have children in the youth group. So I'm just going to ask you to have a prayer over Mike and Claudia, just commissioning them, blessing them. So come on up front. You guys come up front. Where's the mic? Give that over to Kevin. You come on up front, and then Denny and Karen join us. You're going to stand in the middle here, and then we're going to circle around you. Oh, no. All right. Yeah. Go ahead, Kevin.
God, we just are so overwhelmed by the way that you provide in so many ways. And God, you have blessed Living Hope in an incredible way just in bringing Mike, Claudia to this church to serve in the role of youth ministers and to work with the youth. And God, I just thank you for the giftings that they bring. I thank you for the, in many ways, really unique giftings that are different maybe from what we've seen in the past or even what we would have expected. But God, nothing is unique, nothing is unplanned, nothing is a surprise to you. And God, you have been preparing them for this role, and you have been preparing this church for that role. And God, I just speak a blessing over them as they begin, as the youth ministry officially kicks off on Wednesday night. God, I pray for a supernatural anointing of your Holy Spirit to be upon them, that you would grace them, and that you would grace all those who work with them, with Denny and Karen. God, thank you for Denny and Karen and just the way that they have sowed so much into the youth ministry over the past years. God, there have been lives that have been challenged. There's lives have been changed because of the ministry of Dennis or Denny and Karen and just others who've been sowing into that. And God, as Mike and Claudia step into the lead role in that, I pray that you would just anoint them with power, with wisdom. I pray for protection over them. I pray for protection over their marriage as they enter this new role ministry. They will be attacked and they will be challenged just in the attacks of the enemy. So we pray for protection over them, and we bless that ministry. Release, God, your spirit and all the fruit that you want to bring. And we thank you in advance that you will do that well. And we just celebrate that. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thanks, Kevin. Thank you. All right, you guys can just stay up here as we wrap up. I trust this morning has been encouraging to you. Even if you're just here for the first time, I trust it's been encouraging to you. As we wrap up here, I'm going to invite you just to do what I said a few moments ago. As these guys are hanging around up here, and you may have to go get your kids or whatever, but as you have opportunity, just give them your encouragement, give them your affirmation, give them your blessing, express that to them. And Yeah, it's been really good to be together. So we're looking forward to next Sunday at a camp meeting. The coffee will be ready before 10 o'clock. So come on out early. Get a cup of coffee. Walk through the woods out there. Enjoy some time out there. And then we'll begin at 10. So God bless you. Have a good day. Thanks for coming. Good to have you here.